Well, that's kind of unusual, but what a good message, amen? I wish you could say that about everybody, and there's a lot of them out there that only heaven will reveal that's been true to the ministry and to the calling and to the Word of God. And thank you, Brother Keith, for that. That was good for us tonight. Well, I'm a little bit kind of unsure of what I want to do here. Roundup Sunday is right on us, and I thought I'm going to get into a little scripture thing tonight, not much, but I wondered if somebody might have just a word they could share with us about a blessing they may have had in inviting somebody, or maybe at a previous Roundup Sunday, or what you're looking forward to, or something like that. Maybe about two or three, or if they're real quick, maybe four testimonies. I got one fellow with a microphone somewhere back there. Where's it at? All right, Steve, you got it? If you raise your hand, if the Lord just put something in your mind, something on your heart right then that could be a blessing to us, might encourage some of us to use the next 3 days to invite somebody else to come. Something like that. Anybody got anything? Lord, speak to anybody? Oh, my soul. Let's start over. All right. No blessings tonight, don't look like. Anybody got a word about it? All right, Nathan, get down here and let Nathan speak over the mic real quick for us, Brother Steve, and see, maybe he'll stimulate somebody else. Maybe they're just getting their computer slowly warmed up.
Well, I didn't plan on this, but something our bus route does every year, and we've done it ever since I've been on the route, we take our bus kids over to the park in Oakland called 8 Acre. And what we do is we just take them out there and we get pizza for them, and the Willises help out with that. And they bring pizza and snacks and other things, and we play a game of football, girls included. And of course, they get the advantage, but they score all the touchdowns and you can't tackle them. So, but other than that, they have a good time, and we always reach around 80 to 100 kids every year, and it goes great. And after every year we do it, we have kids saying thanks for taking us, and they just love it, just the time that we get to spend with them.
Amen. All right, that's a little ingenuity plus what we're doing as far as the Western theme. Anybody else got a word real quick? Does somebody think of anything? All right, Sister Condon's way over here, Steve. They want to give you exercise tonight. So let her have a word. I wish you could see what Sister Condon does on Roundup Sunday. She decorates her classroom like a campfire, like Western cowboys sitting around a campfire. It's really something to see over there. Go ahead, please.
I'm sorry. I'm just one of those that when you do something, you got to do it big, right? So, I don't know, back years ago, and I don't know how many years we've been doing the Roundup Sunday thing, but it was, you know, just to come into a classroom that looks like a classroom over there, you know, during the week, and it just didn't seem like, you know, it's or to be out in the Western, you know, area, wilderness someplace. And so that's why we, Robert and I both kind of do a little bit for our rooms, and it's just been really fun. And not only that, we do it on the outside as well. We do the sack races, and I've got the little stick horses. And you know, for a child, it's you have to give them something that they remember.
That's right.
Just like he was singing about things that happened in Sunday school, the little songs and stuff. I've yes. heard grown men talk about the things that they learned in Sunday school, you know, back many years before. And I even had one of the little Harvey boys, of course, has moved up to Ohio. He cried when he knew he wasn't going to be here. That he was waiting. He says, "Mom, I've been waiting and waiting to get in Miss Congdon's department so I can go to Roundup Sunday." So I felt so bad. I said, "Well, I'll send your mom a plane ticket for you, you know." But it's a lot of fun to watch the boys and girls, and as they're having fun, and then we do some kind of theme. I don't know, I had the campfire in there, and I had the little snake, you know, we talk about the serpent, the old devil, you know, coming out after him and things like that. And we talked about, I had these little brands made one time, and this one's got a little KJV on it, you know, and we've talked about being branded for Christ, and, you know, where do you wear his brand, and just whatever the Lord gives me, you know. I'm trying to do something now with the bridal, you know, talking about the bridal this year. I don't know, the Lord's just kind of, you know, working on me all week long about that. So just something to get the kids to remember that day is, is what it's all about and what they learned that morning. And so many times, so many of them get saved. So we just thank the Lord for that. And it is a lot of hard work. And you mentioned the other night, I guess in teachers' meeting or something, about some of these things that we've done them so long, those of us that have been here a while, I kind of get where our zeal kind of leaves, you know. And it is a lot of hard work, but I went out and got my trees again and rounded up all my stuff. It takes me a week to get it all together, you know, but it's worth it. And whatever it leaves an impression in some child's mind, is it'll be worth it all one day.
Amen. I tell you what, you get out of it what you put in it. And if you have, you get enthused over it, it helps the kids. And the kids, like she said, will remember right through their life. And many of them will not only remember the things you've done, but the big thing is the gospel and the Lord Jesus and where somebody loved them, where they came to church and somebody showed them some love. That's important. Well, maybe one more. Anybody else? Jesse's on the front row here, but anybody else back there on the way down? All right. I see Jonathan's hand there. Okay. All right. Go ahead. Get the microphone, though. They can't hear you.
I'm just visiting.
Right.
I've been running buses for a long time.
Amen.
And we'd have Roundup Sunday and all like this. But when the gentleman over there was talking and this lady was talking, reminded me of, we had a Roundup Sunday, and this one little Spanish boy came, and through the years he was hit and miss. Didn't see him no more for a good while. Seen him in the grocery store. He was all grown up. He ended up becoming a pastor.
Amen.
So, and he remembers. He remembers the times that we run the bus and picked him up. You know, so he was able to, through all that, he was able to lead his whole family to Christ.
Amen. Amen.
So, it's worth it all.
Amen. A little bit like what Keith was singing about. You never know what these little boys, when God's going to call them and deal with them through their life. Amen? All right, Brother Jesse.
Well, last year, before the service got started, I was out in the back there, and a young man came in. It was his first time coming, and I guess somebody invited him to come to church and started talking about heaven and different things like that. Make a long story short, he got saved, and then that morning he got baptized, and he came for a long time, and it was just every time I saw him, he always had a smile on his face, and it was just a blessing for that to
happen. So, amen. That was on Roundup Sunday last year, Jesse. All right, that's good. Well, I just thought it might be a blessing to us to kind of recognize God is using the day. He has used it. And I was joking with the teachers a little bit ago because Sheriff Grady Judd has been on TV so much, we might ought to advertise, come see a TV star this Sunday. I'll probably joke with him some about that, but he's doing a good job. We're proud of the fact that he's a no-nonsense sheriff here in our county. Amen. All right, I want you to open your Bibles. I'm just going to kind of drift around a little bit here on something tonight, but most of you know I'm always kind of watching out for prophecy, and sometimes I just say something I've said before because I want to hear it again. Amen. I don't want to forget it. They taught me in school the way you memorize something is keep repeating it. So maybe I ought to get it after a while, huh? Chapter 11 of Isaiah. Let's just go there for a little bit tonight. I'll go some other places. In fact, how many of you ever had a sword drill with your Bible? You ever had a sword drill? Well, get ready because I'm going to call out some scripture. And I want you to find it time I do, because I don't have it marked either. And I just call out one, and you go there with me, and we'll look at it together. Amen? Isaiah 11, most of you know, as you get over there in chapter 11, you're dealing with the kingdom age and some truths about the kingdom age. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and rules and reigns, takes his throne from Jerusalem. And we often mention something about like verse 6 in Isaiah 11, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. That's a little goat. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Now, that's pretty hard to imagine right now, isn't it? I mean, man, if the lion and the lamb lays down, only one of them gets up now. You know, that's the age we're in. And to have a kid out there amongst the dangerous animals, that's, well, but that's what's going to happen. Because the curse is going to be removed, and there's going to be something different in the millennial reign, all of which we're not 100% sure of, but the scripture tells us quite a bit about it. It says in verse 7, and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Right now he's eating the ox, but he's going to eat straw like the ox. Amen. That carnivorous nature is going to be changed. And the sucking child, that's a small child, shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. That's poisonous, venomous snakes it's talking about. And yet, they're not going to bite the child. That's kingdom age. So many verses on it in the Bible. Verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It's certainly not that now, is it? The knowledge of the Lord today, brother, is it's amazing. Even cities already this early in the year already letting it be known they're not going to celebrate Christmas in any kind of way and that sort of thing. Just anti-God, anti-Christ everywhere that you look. Verse 10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. Now, you know who that is, don't you? The root of Jesse. We're talking about David and the seed of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest. The root of Jesse, his rest, the Lord Jesus shall be glorious. Let me talk to you a little bit. I kind of get the feeling, even some of the best of God's people, we just, if we're not careful, we kind of get apathetic. We kind of get sleepy on the job. We kind of take for granted that things are just going to keep ticking off. I don't know. I know it's because I'm getting older, but I can't believe how fast the weeks are passing. They seem to me like they've speeded up. I mean, just amazing. A week, I don't know if they're... Listen, it used to take a month between 2 and 3 o'clock when I was sitting in the classroom waiting for the bell to ring. I know it took a month. That was the longest hour I ever spent right after phys ed trying to... I'd watch the clock and it looked like it was backing up. But not now. Boy, has it speeded up. It is moving on, and time is moving on so fast on us. And listen, it's fulfilling God's program. That's what it's doing. I mean, all the way. Things that our, well, not only our forefathers, but we ourselves that are older, even 50 years ago, look what has happened in the last 50 years. I mean, fulfillment-wise, prophecy-wise, but I mean, just look at the world. I wrote a prophecy of my own down in the margin of my Bible. I don't have it. It's one of my older Bibles. And I was predicting what 25 years was going to bring if the Lord didn't come. And I took an average bag of groceries and I had the price of it. I had the price of a car. I had the price of a home and several other things. And I wrote it and I doubled it. So how close did you come? I missed it. Went over about four times. Unbelievable things that have happened to us in such a short time, and yet we kind of take it for granted. Kids, I know you take your smartphone for granted, but listen. The first phone in my parents' house was a party line. How many of you know what that was? You took your turn on it, and if the other guy on the other end wanted to listen to you, he could. I remember I was asking, they still are, but in a more sophisticated way. I remember I just met Sonia and I called her for a date Trying to remember, I think we had that first date at church. And the bird next door to Mama's house where the phone I was using got on the phone. And I felt like killing him. He was messing me up with my girlfriend. I couldn't get him off the phone. I think he's about half drunk. Things like that you don't even think about anymore compared to what they were. Brother Kurt gave me this last night. Brother Kurt Pingali sitting back there. Wait, raise your hand, Brother Kurt. All right, everybody look. I want you to see who gave me this. And this didn't come out of a religious magazine. Now, this title of it says, I, Smartphone. And I'm not going to read it all because it'll take the time, but it is amazing not only what they got, but what it's going to be in a few weeks and a few months. And some of you, I mean, you're right now, that phone you've had it 6 months, it's outdated. You want a new one. You got to stay right up on the cutting edge of stuff. I understand. I don't understand. I'll tell you the truth. But Motorola Company is talking about what they're going to do here. And they're exploring the commercial production of Reed, which is spelled RFID, radio frequency identification. They're going to put your identification mark in something like a tattoo on your body, but it won't be all that noticeable. In fact, they can use a tattoo you already got. Or you can get a new one, and it can be as thin lined as no thicker than a hair. But that would be your signal tattooed on your flesh. And this is right here now. Flexible electronic circuits that can be attached to a user's skin. Thinner than a human hair, they can even be disguised as a regular tattoo. But these bio stamps have already been developed, and it tells who's done it. Let me move on down. They say this tattoo would jibe with a generation more accustomed to wearing ink than watches. And that's what's happened. Excuse me, but brother, don't mess up my skin. It's messing up fast enough like it is. We'll put no ink on it, amen? Not for me. Anyway, they go on with the chips and all of this talk. It's talking about Apple. It's talking about several of these names you recognize, Motorola, all of this. It says ETATs, I guess that's the tattoos, aren't even the freakiest thing Motorola's been working on lately. They've been collaborating with another medical outfit in California on a pill that contains sensors to be swallowed and retained in the user's stomach. Now, say, what good would that be? Well, your whole body becomes the receiver. Your whole body is on the frequency. So if you're really on the cutting edge, when you get in your car and open the door and sit down, it starts because it recognizes your frequency when the body touches the seat. You don't have to push a button on your cell phone. You just pick it up and it recognizes when you pick it up that it's ready to use. So it is amazing what they're talking about here. Swallowing a pill that's going to make your whole body. Now, I'd already read in another place where they're going to have clothes that you put on that becomes your electronic, so to speak, receiver. And all of this is right here. It says your whole body will act as a password. So that is your password, is your frequency. I was riding with a preacher in his car out in Missouri. I believe it was Missouri, Mississippi. Anyway, just got him a brand new car, a computer with wheels. And we're going down the road and he's demonstrating the electronics all in the dash. He's never touching anything, he's just talking to it. That's been at least a year and a half ago, maybe two, that I was with him. And of course, I asked a dumb question. I said, what if I say something to it? He said, it won't respond. He said, when I bought the car, he said, I had to go and have my voice frequency measured. He said, now the car only answers to me. That's at least a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, maybe. Now, this goes on, and it's creepy. It really is. Talks about your brain signals will be tapped in to control your computer. It's not talking about science fiction. It's saying it's here. It's saying we got this. And says it'll bring thought control to the mobile devices. And it'll be called, he said, already there's been ominous talk about brain spyware. And of all things, they're saying, even as complicated as this is, that the crooks will still possibly be able to get in on your frequency somehow. And so when you called out your number on the credit card and nobody else was supposed to know it, they got it too. So Revelation 13 talks about the time that the Antichrist will number everybody. He'll put a mark in their forehead or in their hand, and they can't buy or sell without it. Now, this is talking about this right here. If I had a hand raising in here tonight, how many of you are doing electronic banking? There'd be several hands. And if you've got a security check or something else coming, Social Security or something else, you're probably going directly to your bank, you hope. Well, that's the age we're in. Now, so what's all that got to do? Well, I'll tell you what it's got to do. It's come to the time that the Bible's being fulfilled, and the time is running out, and it's happening very, very quickly and very, very fast. And while that technology, you say, what's wrong with all that technology? Well, it was just predicted that at the end of the age, it would be on us. That would be the thing. When every person right now, 7 billion on earth, can receive a number. And it's growing fast and all of that. And so what it really boils down to is the control and the power over every human being on earth is what they're aiming for, and what's going on right now. Socialism is already been left in the dust. We're about 1 inch from the fallen false theory of communism in America. No matter that it's bankrupt other nations, didn't work for others. No matter that Europe's in an economic mess, we're following the same pattern in America right now. So I'm just saying things are being fulfilled really fast. And I want you to just use your Bible a little bit tonight, and I want you to consider a few prophecies that are a little bit off the beaten road. Not necessarily, I will go with the one big one, and then we'll just take it from there. Bible students that believe the Bible is the Word of God know they have not itemized, inventoried all the prophecies of the Bible. Now, most of you, you've read this, 300 prophecies, the Old Testament about the coming of Christ, his birth, so forth. Okay, yeah, and more than that. And many of them, of course, you could come up with. And then as you get in the New Testament, many, many other prophecies. But a fellow like me has lived a long time to see a lot of those fulfilled. And I was reading where one scholar was saying that if you would just do the count, obvious count, on prophecies fulfilled from the time that Israel became a nation, which would be 1948. How many of us in here was born, you don't mind admitting it, you were born before 1948. Would you raise your hand? All right, that's several folks. I was a young fella living in a house behind the hotel, and the movie was on, the building was on the corner, right there where that ice cream cup thing or wherever it is there. And it had the newsreel of the day. That was the only television I saw. I didn't know any such thing as a television. But they had the news of the day, and I still remember watching it, about a 15-minute spot between the cowboy shoot-em-ups, was this newsreel, And it showed the Arabs attacking the Jews because they raised their flag on May 14th, 1948. Now take that as a starting point and go from there to now. Look at your Bible and see how many things from that starting point, since they became a nation recognized by the majority of the world, has happened. Now use your Bible just a minute, and I'll give you a few references that you can go to, and we'll make that a starting point. I won't have time to go through much, but we could go through as many probably as 40 or 50 if we had the time. Just a little bit offbeat things. All right, Israel established as a nation. I'm going to start right here in chapter 11 where we were. Israel established as a nation, a prediction. Look at it in verse 11. And it's come to pass. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again, watch it now, the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, and from Pathros. Now the second time. Now you got to remember, he called them the first time back out of Babylon, remember? But now a second time is predicted that he's going to call them back as a nation. You need to understand something. When Christ walked on the earth, when he rode into Jerusalem, when he did his miracles, when he was crucified and rose again, Israel was not in control. They were in subjection to Rome. They had not had their own nation for 500 years. When Christ was on the earth, they did not have it until 1948. So here's the prophecy. God's going to bring them back the second time. He brought them the first time out of Babylon. You read that in your Bible. Brought them back. But here, he brought them back the second time, recovering the remnant. So here's a prophecy. Now, I could go to places you've heard all us preachers preach on, and that is Israel's the fig tree, and the fig tree's budded, and the nations come to life, and all of that. Now look at Israel being established as a nation right here in chapter 11, even though now the context of much of this is how God's going to wind it up in the kingdom age and the blessings. When the animals can lay down together, and the kid can put the serpent on the head, and so forth. But as a nation, Israel is established. Look at it in verse 11 and 12 right here where we're at. Verse 11, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time. Now look at it in verse 12. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcast of Israel and gather them together, the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Now, how many of you know, there's two times it's used here, the word ensign. How many of you know what that is? Okay. We would say it's a sign. It's, well, can anybody, let me ask you this. Can anybody see an ensign here in the auditorium? Can you see one? The flag is one. What does that signify? Well, it's that's American flag. Do you understand there's going to be a flag fly where the heathen don't like it? It's going to fly on the hills of Israel. Amen. It's going to be the Star of David. That's what their flag is. It's going to be an ensign for the nations to see. And here's a prediction of it. And you see a little bit of it in the news. But brother, right now, the enemies of Israel say, well, we don't even recognize them as a nation. Yeah, but you're going to recognize them. And that flag, that ensign, is going to it's going to fly with the Star of David on it. Now, I'm just hitting a couple of high places here. How many of you know enough of the history of Israel when they were trying to come back after the end of World War II, that Britain was involved? Do you remember that? The British and the Balfour Declaration and all the political thing there. All right, here's a prediction that we might say that the British ships would bring them back. Go to Isaiah while we're in the same book. Go to Isaiah chapter 60, and let's look at it in verse 9. Again, I want you to just kind of do the Bible study with me tonight. Isaiah chapter 60, I believe verse 9 is what I'm looking for. All right. Surely the isles shall wait for me. How many of you know that Britain is called the British Isles? Do you know that? All right. The Isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver, their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And he goes on a little bit in the same part here. But do you understand that majority of the Jews arriving back in 1946, 7, 8, and 9 was coming in on British ships? And they made a movie about it. For you folks that keep up with the Hollywood stars, Kirk Douglas. How many of you know him? Don't lie to me. Kirk Douglas, you've seen movies with him. All right. The fellow that had the hole right here. Now make you confess to me. You know who I'm talking about. How many of you knew he was a Jew? He was a Jew. And so he starred in the movie of one of the British ships bringing back the exiles to Israel. And the big political fuss when that they wouldn't let that ship land on the shore of Israel and let the Jews out. And that was quite a thing. And they made a movie about it. It's fairly accurate history. America was not guiltless in all that because we didn't let them land either. They went down to Cuba and they couldn't get off. And all of that during the end of World War II, more than one ship, but the British ships. And here in the Bible, in Isaiah, we got the ships of Tarshish, we got the British, we got the British Isles here. And that's, you say, that's an offbeat prophecy. Yeah, but little tiny prophecies all the way through the Bible just keep fitting into place like a puzzle. Let me give you another one here. Let's see if I can think of it. All right, you know this one. A nation born in a day. I'm trying to pick out stuff here in Isaiah. A nation born in a day. Go to chapter 66 of Isaiah and pick it up with me in verse 8. And again, the context is okay here. Verse 7, because she travailed, she brought forth, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Israel produced the Messiah, you understand. Verse 8. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Now Zion's a synonym here, of course, for Israel. And then God makes a promise in the next verse. Shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth? Saith the Lord. Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith the Lord. No, he's saying, I'm going to finish the job. And by the way, he is finishing the job. From 1948 on, you see one little thing here after another, one little prophecy after another, just off the side, sort of between the keys. Not the big keys, but in the cracks. I want to cover some of that. Nation born in a day. The enzyme, Star of David, I hit that. A leader, and a lot of times we don't quite get this, but a leader in Israel in days to come is going to be considered to be King David. Say, what? Yeah. Hosea, chapter 3, verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. By the way, these are five powerful verses in the context here. Now, we know Christ was born of the seed of David. We know Peter talked about that and so forth. But there is seemingly a prediction that King David, whether it be, somebody says, well, is he going to be resurrected? No, I personally don't think so. But there's one of his seed that's going to sit on the throne according to the promise. And of course, Christ is the ultimate fulfillment of that. Five verses, Hosea chapter 3. How many of you know Hosea is pictured as a prophet with an unfaithful wife? How many of you know that? Who does the unfaithful wife represent? Israel. And God says to the prophet Hosea, go take a wife of whoredoms. And he's telling Israel, just like this woman was unfaithful to Hosea, you've been unfaithful to me. And yet through God's grace, Hosea took her back, didn't he? And through God's grace, he's taken Israel back. And I could read all this, but time is getting away. Let me drop down. Verse 3, I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. And thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel, here's the application, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice. Hey, that's the days we're in right now. Do you know Israel has no sacrifice today when they reject Christ? They can't offer a lamb. They don't have the Holy of Holies to go into. And so in trying to witness to some Jews more than one time, I've asked them, where's your sacrifice? Where's your sacrifice? You don't have one. They substitute, and we make jokes about it, but they'll take a chicken and carry on with it. But it's supposed to be a lamb. And you don't have a lamb. And when you celebrate Passover, you don't have a lamb. And the Lamb of God died on the cross of Calvary, and he's your lamb, and you rejected him. And so it all fits right in the verses I'm reading here. See it right here? Children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod, and without a teraphim. They have no connection to God now. All that's been broken when they rejected Christ as the Messiah and as the Savior. But look what it says in verse 5, afterward. Yeah, they're going through that now. But afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. David their king? Yeah, David their king. That's future. That's future rule of Israel. And David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in when? When are we talking about? Latter days. See the last two words, latter days. I'm talking to a little offbeat prophecies that we don't speak on so much. How about since they've been gathered back? Do you know when they came back in 1948 that many of the Jews could only speak the language of the land they'd been captured in, scattered in? They'd been raised there as kids. In Russia, they spoke Russian. Many places they only spoke that language, but when they came back to Israel, and I know some families kept the kids and all, but basically they came back to Israel and they had to learn again the biblical language of Hebrew. And the Bible predicted they would. Let's look at it. A couple of places I could go. I'm trying to think where I want to go here with it. Let's go to Zephaniah, I believe chapter 3. Going over, if you hit Zechariah, go back to your left and try to pick up Zephaniah. Work with me, we'll find it together. All right. If you hit Haggai, go on to your left and hit Zephaniah. And pick it up in chapter 3, and let's look at it in verse 9. Talking in the context now, bringing them back into the land, latter days, dealing with the nations, and all of that that goes on. And that, let me say this, pretty well the time we're living in right now. Chapter 3, verse 9. For then will I turn to the people, what does it say? A pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. Do you understand that that has happened in our lifetime now? That's the big thing. I mean, the colleges and universities and schools from kindergarten on up in Israel have been teaching the folks the pure language that's predicted here by Zephaniah. Jerusalem divided. How about Joel chapter 3? You're over there in that area. Mess you up a little bit here on finding Joel, but See, we can all find it. I think I've passed it twice already. Oh, I got it. Got it stopped that time. Go with me to Joel chapter 3, I believe. And let's pick up about the first two or three verses. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. Don't have time to go to it, but see, Judah and Jerusalem's one now. There was a split. You remember in your Bible there was a split? But they came back together, and you read about them being put back together in the prophecy of Ezekiel. And now they're one. That's a prophecy itself. But in those days and in that time, when? What time, Lord? The time I'm bringing the captivity back of Judah and Jerusalem. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. That's the battle of Armageddon. And will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. Watch the next statement. And parted my land. What's current in the news right now in Washington and everywhere else? Dividing Jerusalem. Creating an Arab state. All that the Bible puts a curse on and says angers God is what exactly John Kerry and President and all the rest of the world leaders, UN, all of them are trying to do, just exactly what this prophecy said they would do, and it's condemned of God. Russia and Iran getting together, making a covenant of war. I covered that not long ago. Ezekiel 38, that's right on us. It almost happened, probably could have happened if we shot the missiles in to stop the Syrians with their gas. Hey, that's going to happen. That's yet going to happen. And it's going to fulfill the prophecy. I've shown you before how the city of Damascus is going to be destroyed. That's yet future. So there's there's a number of prophecies yet future, but the best I can count, they might be, at best I know, and I am sure there's more than I know, maybe 15 or 20 more prophecies concerning the end latter days with Israel. That's yet to be. But from 1948 on, you can count 50, 60, 70 prophecies that's been fulfilled, just like the Bible says. So preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying let's get busy for the Lord. I'm saying let's do the job. He might be coming tomorrow. If not, it could be next year or a few years. I don't know, but hey, how fast is time passing? How this book is being fulfilled? How we are about to become a hybrid generation around like a bunch of electronic robots walking around. The human touch is being lost, folks. It is amazing. And yet, we're like the proverbial frog, just comfortable with being boiled because the fire was turned up slowly enough that we didn't feel any alarm. That's a sad thing. All right, I just kind of wanted to look at some of these scriptures myself tonight. Let me encourage you. Let's don't say ho-hum another week, ho-hum another Roundup Sunday, ho-hum just, no, it's not. Things are happening all around us, fulfilling the book. And time is short, and we are in the latter days, and Jesus is coming. And if we want to have reward on the other side, we ought to be faithful servants.